Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. The last probably 6 to 8 weeks, we've been talking about making a difference, talking about our theme for this year, making a difference. And I think it's probably in most people, who, especially those that are saved, they have a desire the Holy Spirit of God gives them to make a difference in the world they live in. Now, you think about it. If you want to do something in this world, and we all have somebody that we like to help, we all have somebody that's close to us that we like to say, boy, I'd like to make a difference. And you could put many names there. You'd like to make a difference in your family's life. You'd like to make a difference in your coworker's life. You'd like to make a difference in your mate's life. I mean, there's just so much, when you think about it, what God would say, okay, if God would come to you and say, who would you like to make a difference in their life? You'd probably make a long list, because that's where our heart should be, is to try to make a difference in other people's lives. That's why our theme this year is talking about making a difference. And so often people spin their wheels and they work, work, and work, and they try and try and try, and just doesn't seem like they make any difference at all. And that's why we've been talking this year about making a difference in other people's lives. As we look at this and understand, we went through and we looked at some Bible characters that had certain characteristics that enabled them, that God's found something in their life, found something in their heart that they could bless. We went back when we began with the Apostle Paul, and how the Apostle Paul faced trial after trial, even torture after torture, and you know what? He continued on. The reason why he made a difference was because he continued on. He didn't let any of those things move him. And then we went to the book of Daniel, and we saw how Daniel lived for God in a pagan culture. And how if Daniel wouldn't have lived for God in that pagan culture, Daniel could have never been used by God the way he was used. But he taught us how we can live godly in a pagan culture. And then we looked at Abraham. We saw how Abraham showed us how we can live by faith. And how when we live by faith, that will change our outlook. And how that will cause us to want to offer and cause us to want to sacrifice for the cause of Jesus Christ. And then we also looked at Jesus Christ. The greatest difference maker we could ever have is what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ did what no one else could do. Jesus Christ died for the sins of mankind, to give men an opportunity to go to heaven. He took people that were lost and dead in their sins and headed to a horrible place called hell, and he gave them an opportunity to be saved by what he did for us on that cross. What a difference he made. Last week we talked about how the Bible can make a difference in our life. And we looked at how sometimes the Word of God just doesn't seem like it makes a difference in certain people's lives. And we look at the story of Eve and how God's Word said something to Eve and to Adam, and they disobeyed, and just didn't make a difference. And we looked at some of the reasons why. But we also looked at the characteristics of when we let the Bible make a difference in our heart, and when we let the Bible make a difference in our lives, the difference it can make. This morning, we're going to look at another thought when it comes to making a difference, and we're going to talk about making a difference with our talents. Making a difference with our talents is the title of this morning's message. You say, talents? What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about the God-given gifts and talents he's given you. You see, I believe God wants to make everyone's life count for him. If you're here this morning and you're on your way to heaven, you're a Christian, you know beyond a shadow of doubt if you died today that you would go to heaven, and you can know that. I think God has a purpose and plan for each person. Now, don't just look at me and say, okay, you're the preacher. Of course, you're supposed to make a difference. Okay, you're the preacher. You're supposed to use your talents and abilities for God. Now, look at yourself and look inside yourself, because God has a desire and a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. And in that plan and that purpose is for you to bring glory to him by making a difference in other people's lives. And no matter how many spiritual gifts you may or may not have, God gives each of us at least one talent and one ability that we can use for him. He tells us that in his word. And this morning, I want you to think about all the different people that God used in the Bible. Yes, some of them were preachers. Yes, some of them were people that you would consider a full-time servant of God. But there's many who had different occupations that God could use. You go down to the Hall of Faith, that what we call in Hebrews chapter number 11, and you see Abel was a shepherd. Noah was a carpenter. Abraham, probably a businessman type. Sarah was a homemaker. Moses, a political leader, a politician almost of sorts. And if God can use a politician, boy, God can use anybody, right? And you think about Joshua, a general. Rahab, a harlot. You think about the different judges and the different backgrounds they came from. God was able to use them and make a difference. And that was just at the beginning of the book. You go throughout the Bible, you see David as a shepherd boy. You see Amos as a herdsman. You see the disciples as fishermen. You go to Matthew and you see Matthew, a tax collector. And once again, if God can use a tax collector, God can use anybody, right? I mean, God can use people. You think about Luke, the doctor, a Gentile doctor at that moment in time, the physician that he was, and the great way that God used them. See, God can use many different people with many different talents for his will and for his glory. Even think about Esther, you know, the bad spot she was put in. As a queen, God could use her. So I don't want you to look around the room and say, you know what, pastor's preaching right to that person. We're so good at that, aren't we? We're so good at looking at those young people and say, you know what, God wants to use that young person to do something for him, right? But, you know, what we need to do is look inside ourselves and say, God wants to use me too. Many of these people were not full-time preachers. They were men and women of faith. God used them to influence others. And the question I'd like for you to ask yourself today is two things. First of all, how is God using you today? How is God using you today? And secondly, are you available for God to use? Whoever you are, whatever you do, God wants to use you for what he made you for. He didn't just save you so you can go to heaven and live your life whatever way he wants. He saved you in order so you could serve him. If you have possessions, we should make them available to God's servants. If you have talents and gifts, God wants you to use them for his glory. If you have influence, use that influence for God. And when we come to Romans chapter number 12, we come to some very familiar passages of scriptures. And these couple verses are things that I know that many of you will recognize when we begin to read them, but it's just put in a portion of a great context of the Bible. And here it talks about some of the spiritual gifts that God gives us. And we're going to actually not going to start in Romans 12. We're actually going to start in Romans chapter number 11. And we're going to go up to verse number 34. It's just a few verses ahead of your Romans chapter 12, to Romans 11, 34. As we look at this, making a difference with our talents. Here in Romans chapter number 11, verse 34, he says, "Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor?" You know, that's an interesting question. Who knows the mind of God? Who is a counselor to God? You know, we get really, really good at telling God what we think he should do. We love to give God counsel. And this is when it comes to our talents, when it comes to our ability, when it comes to our service for God, one thing that we love to do is we like to make God recommendations. Hey, God, I think I'd be really good at this job. Or God, I'd really like to do this. But what God is looking for, he is searching and seeking for men and women he can use because they are servants of his. You know, who knows better for us than God? You say, well, how would God? Well, God knows you better than yourselves. God knows the number of hairs that are on your head. God knows your thoughts and the intents of your heart. God has the honest view and perspective of you. Sometimes our world, and we let Satan kind of construe or skew our way of thinking about ourselves, and we think that we're okay. We don't think there's anything we need to change. We think that we're good and nothing about us. Is there anything wrong? But when we get to the Bible and we see the Word of God, it, I don't know about you, but it just breaks my heart in saying that I need to be more like Jesus Christ. And we need to learn that the Word of God teaches us that no one could be a counselor to God. So no one should be able to say, God, I can't do this. Instead, we should be willing to hear what God would allow us to do. Verse 35, "Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again." Now, here's the thought. Who was the person that gave something to God first? Who does God owe something to? No one. God gave to us in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. For God so loved the world that he gave. You know, God gave to us. God doesn't owe us anything. So in this perspective, we owe everything to him. And a little side note here, you can't outgive God. You just can't outgive God. I mean, you know, God's not going to be a debtor to you in any way, shape, or form. If you give to him, you know what? He's going to give back to you bountifully in one way or another. And it says, "And it shall be recompensed unto him again." Now, this verse 36 kind of takes you up to a higher level and a higher thought process. It says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." You know, this is the idea that it's all by Him, it's all through Him, it's all for Him, it's all to Him. We've been created for God and for His glory, and His glory will be forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then you get to chapter 12, verse number 1. And chapter 12, verse number 1 talks about our relationship. Now, these are some familiar verses probably for you. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want you to think about it. This morning, I want us to think soberly when it comes to us making a difference with the talents He's given us. Verse number 4, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or minister, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on our exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, which means don't fake love, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Now, we can keep on going. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture, but we're not going to go any farther than that. And it's just to give you a perspective of the way our service is supposed to be, how we're supposed to have in a relationship with God, and how we're supposed to have a relationship with others. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord this morning to help us as we look at this thought, making a difference with our talents. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you, Lord, for the people that are here. Lord, I do pray that you work in their hearts and minds this morning. Lord, as they look and they examine themselves, they consider, first of all, that they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. Lord, the greatest decision they can make. But Lord, once they are saved, I pray they see the reason why they've been saved. Lord, yes, from our sins, to spend eternity with God in heaven, but also, Lord, to do a work for you. And Lord, I pray that as we look at our talents and our abilities, that we become a people that would desire to serve you through what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. The thing we're going to focus mostly on this morning is in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And even tonight, we're going to continue with this thought. We're going to talk about helping the next generation with their spiritual gifts a little bit, because it is so important that we understand God gives us each talents and abilities not to just make money, not to just draw interest and have friends or find a wife or find a husband, not to just to please ourselves. He gives us talents and abilities. He creates us a certain way because He wants us to be involved in the body of Christ. He wants us to be involved in a church that will bring honor and glory to Him through our talents and abilities. And you say, Pastor, I don't get it. I try and I try and I do this and I do that, but it doesn't seem like I'm making any difference. Well, that's why we got to go back to the beginning. And the beginning is in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 gives us a setting in which God is able to bless, in which God is able to use us. We looked at those great Bible characters, the Daniels and the Josephs. We look at the Davids and we look at the Pauls. And they had to go through all these different things. And they had to get to the point in their life where they said, okay, God, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what's going on, I'm willing to do what you've asked me to do. I'm willing to give my life to you to use it the way you want to use it. And that's where it begins in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. If we're looking to make a difference, if we're looking to have the be like the Abrahams and have the influences that we saw in the Bible, and you read these Bible characters and say, man, if I could just do something like that for God, boy, I could make a difference. But it begins here in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. There's three things I want you to look at this morning. First thing is available. You must be available to be able to be used by God. Second thing I want you to understand is not only do you need to be available, but you need to be conformable. And thirdly, you need to be knowledgeable. First thing is available. Are you available for God to use? Say, Pastor, I'm here, aren't I? Doesn't that count? I show up, doesn't that count? Now, it does to an extent. But being available to what God would have planned for you means that we are ready to give our lives over to what He desires. Now, Pastor, I'm available to do this for God, but I'm not available to do that. That's not really truly being available. Available is found in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. And let's look at this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The best ability. You say, Pastor, I don't got talents. You know, the Brother Jesse was up here singing. I can't sing like Brother Jesse. Well, I can't sing like Brother Jesse either. But that's not going to stop me from serving the Lord. I can't play the piano like Miss Kathy. I can't lead singing like Brother Jim. I can't sing like the choir. I can't teach. I can't. You know what the best ability is? It's availability. You know, giving your life up and saying, okay, God, I am available for whatever you want. You take me, you use me, you make me whatever you want. And I love the story of Moses and the idea of Moses. He wasn't really available. He wasn't really ready to go. And God says, I want you to go see Pharaoh. He's like, God, I can't really talk right. He's like, who made the tongue? He's like, if you're available, I can make you able to make a difference. And here's the question is, are you really truly available? Okay, Pastor, what does it mean to be available? It means to be available is found here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It means you're available when you say, God, here's my life. Take it and use it whatever way you want. But Pastor, I might not get what I want. Now, see, that's not being available. Being available means, God, here I am. What is it you desire of me? Let's look at these verses a little bit, this verse in a little bit more detail. Look at this word, it says beseech. Some of you probably know what the word beseech means. He means he begs you. He's begging you. This is the great Apostle Paul talking to the church of Rome. He says, I beg of you. Now, why would the Apostle Paul say that? It's because he knows it's what's best for you. He says, I know you. I love you. You ever try to beg and talk to a family member? Don't go down that path. Don't marry that person. Don't do that with your finances. You're just going to hurt yourself. You just beg and you beg and you just want them to do what's right. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here. He's like, please, I beg of you. He says, because this is what's best for you. I beg of you. And he says, therefore, I beseech you, therefore. What that word therefore is talking about in reference to what you've heard before. Chapters 1 through 11 is really what it's talking about, but in a more focused aspect in verses 34 and 35 and 36. Because of the fact we don't know the mind of God, we can't give counsel to God because He is all-powerful and because we owe so much to Him and because He is due all glory and all things are through Him and all things are for Him, that's because we then, therefore, can give our bodies over. It's because of what He's done and because of what we owe Him. He says, you therefore, brethren, talking about people who are saved, by the mercies of God. And here's the reasoning here. I'm begging you to be willing to give your body as a sacrifice. And one of the reasons is because of the mercies of God. And mercy means that He's compassionate. Mercy means the tenderness of God. Mercy means the pity that God shows upon us. Say, I don't need God's mercy. We all do if we want to go to heaven. You know, it was only because of God's mercy that He came down to this world to die for us. And because of the mercy He has provided us, it's because of His mercy that He has shown to us, because of His mercy, His word, everything He's done for us. We should be willing to do what? It says, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now here's the thought. This is what availability is. This means to make yourself available, to yield yourself, your entire personality, as an instrument that God can use. Your mind, your affections, your will. The Holy Spirit can use a person like that. That's where we're at. Are you really available to God? We like to think we're available, but are we really available to God? God, you can have it all. You can have my mind, my heart, my thoughts. Lord, I know it's yours anyway. It's yours. But you think about, he said, Pastor, he says, it's God's. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6:20, he says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I want you to get this, understand this. And when we're available, when we say we're available to God, it means that we're giving everything up to God. We're willing to do whatever He desires for us. You say, Pastor, I don't really like that word sacrifice. Well, to be honest with you, a lot of people don't. Sacrifice. You say, well, that Bible context, you know, back in Bible times, what they used to do is they used to sacrifice the animal on the altar. And that doesn't sound like something I'd really be interested in. Well, I can understand that. But see, the Lord back then was talking about being willing to sacrifice them and to die. But here the sacrifice that Christ is asking for is for us to live for him. Willing to sacrifice ourselves and our desires so that way God can use us whatever way he desires. Now, don't get me wrong, this sacrifice is not easy. The sacrifice is not something most would be willing to give. But the Bible is saying here in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, if you really want to make a difference, first thing you got to do is got to be available. You got to say, okay, God, I'm here to do whatever it is you want me to do. When you talk about Kids Crusade, we go up there and we have that piece of paper and, you know, we write down and have people write down names. And then when they sign up as workers. And you have people write up their preferred area. Because I've learned a long time ago, it's best to let people do what they want to do. Because number one, they're usually more talented at it. They'll be a lot happier. But I love it when someone writes down whatever. And you know what that means? That means they're willing to help anything. They're willing to help do whatever they, anything you ask, Pastor, anything you want. And then you get up on the phone, you call them up. And I say, okay, can you do that? He says, well, whatever meant not that. Now, some of you laugh because some of you have told me that. Because, no, Pastor, everything but that. I said, and I'm just picking because it is wonderful when people have a servant's heart. And there are certain things that are more, there are certain things that are more suitable for certain people. I understand that. But I want you to get this, is when we write down that piece of paper and we say to God, whatever you want. That's when we really truly become available. A living sacrifice means that we're going to be on the altar and being willing to do whatever he wants. No matter where we are. A living sacrifice means a constant, continuous sacrifice. Doesn't mean yes today and no tomorrow. A living sacrifice means that the body sacrifices its desires for the things of God. A living sacrifice means that the body is devoted to the task of serving God. The bottom line of all this is sacrificing your body is not something that one just does at church. I'm here. I'm available. I want to do whatever you want, Pastor, from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Now you laugh because you know none of us get done by 12. But 11 o'clock to 12:15. I'm willing. No, that's not it. Really, truly sacrificing ourselves means saying, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'm willing to do. Now, I want you to, it goes even a step farther here. It says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now, some of us are willing to be available to God and say, hey, Pastor, I'm good with doing whatever you've asked me to do. You call me anytime, day or night. But they go out and they live like the world. They live like the devil. And then they want God to use them and bless them. See, that's not what God's looking for. God is looking for somebody that is willing to give their life and sacrifice themselves, but also live a clean life. See, God doesn't use dirty vessels. You can't be living like the devil and expect God to use you to make a difference. If our desire, and I believe it's a heart's desire of many of you, because I know I've heard you talk about your children, how you wish they were right. I know I've heard you talk about your burden for your parents. I've heard you talk about your burden for your loved ones and your burdens for those in other countries and your burden. And you want to be used to make a difference. Well, it starts here. We got to be willing to sacrifice ourselves, our desires, to live for God. That's the people God can use. Holy and acceptable. You get that word acceptable. Pastor, what is acceptable to God? Well, he's got a whole book there that teaches us what's acceptable. We need to get in the book and we need to read it. And we need to see this is acceptable to God and this is not acceptable. This is acceptable. And that's what I need to do is be acceptable to God. Now that next phrase, I think is the greatest part of the whole verse. Which is your reasonable service. You know, some people say, Pastor, you're asking too much. Pastor, you've gone too far. How in the world do you expect me to, no matter where I go, no matter what I'm doing, for me to say no to myself and yes to God? That is just ridiculous. That is old-fashioned. Nobody does that. Nobody ever lives that way. You're just being ridiculous. All you're trying to do is drum up some more help for around the church so you don't have to do anything. That's not it at all. The Bible says that this is your reasonable service. You know what the Bible is saying there? It is not too much for God to ask you to give your life for his. For him. You think about it. You say, Pastor, how in the world could that be reasonable? How in the world could God ask me to give up everything to serve him? Make myself available. Make myself a living sacrifice. Something I live every day giving to him. How could he do that? It's because what he's done for us. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that you'd be sure that not sure that you would go to heaven when you die, I want you to understand what Jesus Christ did for you. Jesus Christ saw ahead of time that all men were going to be sinners. And because of that sin, he knew that every person in the world was going to have to pay their sin penalty in a horrible place called hell. And that place, God did not intend for humans to go to. So God sent his own son. That's where you get that famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his own son to pay our sin debt for us. He left all the glories of heaven. We're talking about God became God in the flesh. Was mistreated and abused, suffered the most horrible death that can be imagined. Put on a cross, buried, but through his power, rose again, paying our sin debt for us. He went through all that for us. He did all that for us. And that's why he can say to us, it's reasonable. It is reasonable to expect you to give your life to him. If you believe in him, you put your faith and trust in him, he says, there really isn't too much for God to ask. And this is the point we get to, and this is the point. It's your reasonable service. Say, Pastor, it's just asking a little too much. Pastor, I just can't do that. And once again, you got to understand that it's God's not going to ask too much from you. God's not going to send you a place that he cannot take care of you. God's not going to give you more than what you can handle. You got to understand, put your faith and trust in him and say to God, I'm yours. Whatever it is you want, God, because it's reasonable because of what you've done for me. And if you're here this morning and say, I've never been saved. I don't understand how a person should be willing to give their life up. And you got a whole board full of people back there that says, Lord, I'm yours. And God sent them over to Africa and New Guinea and Trinidad and all over the world. And they say, you know what? That's a reasonable service. If you really, truly want to make a difference, which I believe is in the heart desire of many of you is, it's got to start. It's got to start with saying, I'm available, God. And if you have not been available to him in a while, today's the day to say, Lord, I'm available. Whatever it is you want, Lord, I'm available. Next thing I want you to understand is not only is it just about being available, it's also about being conformable. Conformable. Look here what it says in verse number 2, and I know we need to hurry. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. See, God is not looking for people that are conformed to this world. He's looking for people to be transformed into his image. Now, here's the point. Once we are become available, we must say, okay, God, I'm available to you. The first thing God's going to want you to do is become more like his son. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, God is interested in taking you, our fleshly, dirty selves, and to becoming more like his son, becoming more like Jesus Christ. We are commanded not to be conformed into the world. What does the word conform mean? It means to be fashioned or shaped to. It literally means to mold. What the world desires and what Satan does, it wants to squeeze you into his mold and become like the world. We are not allowed to make the world, let the world make us like it. You see, the world and those who are controlled by its influences are vastly different than what God is trying to do and what God is trying to conform. He is trying to conform us into the image of his son. And he say, Pastor, how in the world do I do that? It says it right here. It says that, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means when you get in the Word of God and when you let the Word of God get in you, it can transform you. It can make a difference, like we talked about last week. The Word of God can make a difference in your life if you will allow it to. It can come in and it can change you to become more like Jesus Christ. Where do you see that in the Bible? It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding in as a glass the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What that's saying is that when we look, as we look in the Bible, as we allow the Bible to make a difference in our lives, as we become available and we say, Lord, here's my life, I'll do whatever you want me to. We get into the Bible, we get into the Word of God, and God starts showing us in his Word, hey, I don't want you to do this. Hey, I want you to do this. We begin to become more like Jesus Christ, but we got to let the Bible make a difference. The renewing of our mind. And last but not least, not only do we need to be available and conformable, but we also must be knowledgeable. Knowledgeable. Look what it says here. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't know about you, but if you work with young people, sometimes if they really have a desire to want to serve God, sooner or later they'll come to you and say, I don't know what God's will is. How can you know what God's will is for your life? I don't know about you, but I know there's a lot of people out there in the day when I work with teenagers and they come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm struggling. I don't know what God's will is for me. And I show them, I tell them, look, God's will is not some type of distant future thing. I used to tell them, it's not like it's a huge Easter egg hunt and God's out, wants you out there searching and looking for it. It's not a cosmic Easter egg hunt where you've got to try to figure it out and look where he would be hiding. God's not working that way. What God wants you to do is be faithful and truthful to what you already know. Make yourself available to him by presenting your body. Not allow yourself to get worked into the rest of the world and becoming like the rest of the world. And then when you get to that point, you're going to be able to prove what it is that God wants you to do. You're going to be knowledgeable because you're going to know his will. You say, Pastor, I don't know what God's will is. I don't know what I should do. I don't know what I should not do. It starts right here. First of all, present your body. Okay, Lord, whatever it is you want, I'm willing to do. Because if you don't go there first to begin with, he's not going to be able to tell you what he wants because you're just going to ignore it anyway. But when you come to the point and say, Lord, whatever it is you want, then I will do whatever it is you want me to do. And then we begin looking in the Bible and searching the scriptures and letting the word of God conform us into the image of his son, letting us be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then we will know what is that good. And look at that description. Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be doing God's will. Don't you? I don't know about you. I want to do what God wants me to do with my life. I know the problem is so many of us say that. We say, okay, that's what I want to do. I want to do what God wants me to do. But then we don't live our lives giving God a chance to show us and teach us what he wants us to do. He gives us his book. He tells us what he desires for us. We ignore it and we say, okay, God, what is it you want me to do forever? God, who is it that you want me to marry? God, what job do you want me to go? What church do you want me to go to? Lord, do you want me to go speak to that individual? Lord, how can I make a difference over here? We want all those things. We want the answers to the big questions of life. But then God tells us, look, first thing you got to say is, I'm available. That whatever it is that you want, Lord, I'm willing to do. Whatever way you direct me, whatever way you show me, what we've been learning about in Proverbs is very simple. In Proverbs chapter number 3, we've been learning how the Bible says, lean not, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. How are you going to know the perfect and that good and acceptable will of God? Is by being available to him. Listening to what God has for you. Say, Pastor, what does this have to do with my talents? Well, so that's where we get to the next point. Is once we understand what God wants us to do, then we'll know how he wants us to use our talents. We all have talents and all abilities. We all have opportunities to serve. We all have things that we can be doing, but is it God's will for us to do it? And the answer is yes. God has a plan and a purpose for you. But how do we know? Well, the first thing you got to say is, I'm available. And that's the point. Are you available today? And it's not just signing up for a sheet of paper there. It's not just being faithful. It's not just saying, look, Pastor, whatever you desire me to do. It's going to God and coming to grips with yourself and saying, God, I got it now. You want me. You want all of me. I'm available for whatever you want. If you want me to go to deep, dark Africa, I will. If you want me to stay here, I'll go. If you want me to be a member here, I'll do that. If you want me to go somewhere else, I'll do that. Whatever it is you want, Lord, I'm available to your will. Now, remember, there's two types of wisdoms. Remember, there's man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Man's wisdom would tell you you're crazy for doing something like that. Man's wisdom would say, why in the world would you give up your life to do something to a God that you've never even met or saw? But God's wisdom says, there's nothing you can do better with your life than give it over to him. And to be honest with you, I would lean towards man's. I lean toward God's wisdom more than man because God created us and he knows what's best for us. God's wisdom is from above. God's wisdom is perfect. And with God's wisdom, we can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We're going to continue tonight looking a little bit more at talents, looking a little bit more at gifts. But before we go, I want you to focus here for just a second. Is number one, is God using you? I ask you to think about that question. If you look inside your heart and look inside your life, is God using you today? Now, I'm not talking about you using God, because we all do that in some point and way. But in your ministries, in your families, and in the world that lives around you, is God using you today? And that second question, because I told you there's two questions. Are you available? Because if God is using you, are you available for whatever else God wants? And if God is not using you right now you're not doing anything but living for yourself. We've missed the whole point of chapter 11, verse number 36, is that we're all here for Him. It's for His glory. That's going to be forever. We need to understand why we're here. If we're saved, we're here to glorify God in our body and our soul and our mind. We need to glorify God with ourself. And question is, are you available? I'm not talking about being available next Monday for Kids Crusade. I'm talking about, are you available for what God desires for your heart and life? Pastor, I don't know what that is. It's right here. That you can look at the perfect and acceptable will of God. You can be holy and acceptable before God. And that sacrifice you can give. Now this morning, if you're here and you're unsaved, let me encourage you to forget about everything else but what you heard about needing a Savior. If you're here today, you're not sure if you died that you would go to heaven, get it settled today. When in a second, we're going to have an invitation. The music will play. The song leader will sing. Just come forward. I'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you what the Bible says. Not what Pastor P says, what the Bible says, how you can go to heaven when you die. We'll have somebody take you into the back room, find a quiet spot where you can sit and talk and ask all the questions you want. And that way you can get that taken care of and settled. But if you're here this morning, you're on your way to heaven, you think that you know that you're saved, let me encourage you. There's nothing better you can do with your life than to give it over to God. Making a difference with your talents. It starts right here. Pastor, you didn't talk about spiritual gifts. Pastor, you didn't talk about what abilities we should or should not have or what we could or could not do. No, because it all starts right here. Am I willing to surrender my talents? Am I willing to surrender my abilities? Am I willing to say, I want to make a difference? I want to be used by God. Because before we get those things settled, we're not going to be able to use the talents the way God wants us to anyway. But this morning, are you being used by God? He wants to use all of us. He wants us all to do something for Him. Secondly, are you available to do what He wants you to do? This morning, don't leave this place without at least giving deep consideration and deep thought during the invitation time. Am I really being used by God? And am I available for whatever God wants? If the answer is no, I hope you come to the decision and say, I want to be available, and I'm making myself available to God today. Little poem here, and I know sometimes you get so much work and you do so many things, you're overwhelmed. The little poem here I really like. It says, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do. You ever get to the point where you feel like you got to do everything? You get overwhelmed and it's like, I can't do everything. I shouldn't even try. Well, listen to this again. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do. Yeah, that's right. You can't do everything, but you are somebody. You can't do everything, but there is something you can do. And what you can do, you should be doing it. And by the grace of God, make yourself available so you can do it. Today, be willing to be that living sacrifice God speaks about. Let's go ahead and pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed, go and raise to your feet for a time of invitation. I pray you give some really...